May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and as the fifth leading cause of death in the United States, this month is an important time to learn what a stroke is, how to recognize one as soon as possible, and the quickest way to get treated. For this topic, we'd like to welcome Dr. Christian Schumacher and Dr. Bernard Fennell, the physicians who lead Capital Health's stroke program. This is Capital Health Headlines, a podcast from Capital Health, and I'm Prakash Chandran. Dr. Schumacher, let's start with you. What is a stroke, and why is it such a time-sensitive disease?
Well, a stroke is a brain attack, and it can happen to anyone at any time. And it's time-sensitive because during the stroke, there is no blood flow to the brain, and every second, millions of brain cells die. And this is why it's time sensitive.
Yeah, I feel like people know what to look for when it comes to heart attacks and things that they should potentially get screened for. But do you have any advice for how people or the signs that they should look for when they're having a stroke? And Dr. Fennell will address that one at you.
Oh, sure. So in terms of some of the signs that people should look for with respect to stroke, there is an acronym that we often use called FAST, for as being fast and looking at the face, looking at the speech, those are some of the main things we look for. If there are any changes in the face, if there is any weakness in the arm or leg, and if there are any problems with speech, we definitely recommend, that you seek medical attention as soon as possible.
I would like to add something to this. So, one important thing to remember is that stroke doesn't cause pain. So if people think that when they have a headache, this is a stroke, this is most of the time not the case. And the other thing that is important is if you recognize stroke center, then the best medical attention is through the emergency services. So call 911 and tell the dispatcher you think you have a stroke, and they take it from there. This is the best way to access healthcare when you have stroke symptoms.
So you mentioned regarding the symptoms, the acronym FAST. Dr. Fennell, can you maybe expand a little bit as to what those letters stand for?
So F is for the face, A is for the arm, S is for speech, and then T is really in terms of is time, meaning just like Dr. Schumacher mentioned, is getting emergency help, emergency medical help as soon as possible in order to mitigate these symptoms.
Okay, so if I can unpack this a little bit, if I am with a friend or a loved one and I see that there's something up with the face or there's some sort of speech impediment, that's something that I may want to consider that, hey, listen, my friend might be going through something. I should call 911. Can you maybe talk a little bit about what in the face and what in the speech that people should look for to know when they're having a stroke?
Absolutely. So oftentimes there will be some drooping of the face. It will look like someone's eye may be droopy. If they smile or talking, there may be half of their mouth may not move may not move symmetrically as the other half. If in terms of their arm, they may have some weakness in their arm. They may drop things if they're eating. They may drop some of their silverware. If they're speaking, oftentimes it may sound like they may have a mouthful of food or marbles or they may even have difficulty with finding words or being able to describe what something is. Those are some of those speech things. And to echo what Dr. Schumacher said, is that it doesn't cause any pain. So these symptoms will happen abruptly, and there won't be any associated pain with them. So it's oftentimes the family and friends who notice these symptoms, oftentimes before the patients do.
I would like to add something to this. What patients usually do is they try to get in touch with their family physician or a family friend. And if they do this, they lose valuable time. This all can be done after a 911 call. Don't call your primary care physician. Don't call your internist. Don't call your cardiologist. Don't call your family member and wait for them to come and pick you up. Call 911 in every single case. That's the fastest way to get into a hospital and get the treatment that is necessary.
Dr. Schumacher, I'm so glad that you made that clarification there and shared some of the steps that people need to take, because when you do see that drooping of the face or the speech impediment, I think oftentimes people worry about, well, what is the best thing to do? Is this something that I can help cure myself? So first and foremost, 911, because those brain cells are dying so quickly. And the second thing I imagine is to get to an emergency room as quickly as possible. Dr. Schumacher, is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And it's not any emergency room. It has to be an emergency room that is experienced with taking care of stroke patients. And there are two levels. One is the so-called primary stroke centers, and then there are the comprehensive stroke centers. I don't want to go into the technical details, but not every emergency room is equipped to take care of stroke patients. And when you call 911 or when a patient calls 911, what happens is they prioritize the patient very high in the rescue, and they bring them to the hospital closest that is able to treat strokes. So they bypass other hospitals that don't have this capability.
And if I could echo what Dr. Schumacher just said, that he's absolutely, I mean, I agree 1,000% that critically important is making sure that when you're calling, that when you're calling 911, that not trying to go there or not trying to go to a hospital on your own, irrespective of what you may think, what may be the best hospital, calling 911 and letting them know that you're having a stroke, and having them identify that you have a stroke will get the EMS will get you to the most appropriate center as far as being able to treat stroke. Dr. Schumacher is absolutely 100% correct.
For example, you know, if you need cardiothoracic surgery, you wouldn't go to a general surgeon, so you would go to a specialist who specialized in cardiac surgery. So the same applies to stroke. Not every physician can treat strokes. Not every hospital can treat strokes.
I'm so glad we're talking about these distinctions, because me as a layman, I kind of think that all emergency rooms are created equal. But what I'm really learning right now is the importance of calling 911, because they will know where to dispatch you to that can treat you the fastest and really minimize the damage that is made. So Dr. Fennell, I want to turn to you very quickly. I think when most people think about a stroke, they think about the elderly, but that's not necessarily true, is it?
It isn't. A stroke can occur, and when you think of globally, when you talk about stroke, we think about stroke as it relates to certain of the brain not getting blood, but there are also other types of stroke that can cause hemorrhage inside the brain. But either type can occur in people of all ages, from very small children to the older population. Now, certainly, as we get older, the prevalence or the number of people who have strokes certainly increases as we get in our 60s, 70s, and 80s. But certainly, by no means does it, just because you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, does not mean that you can't have a stroke, because you certainly can, and we see those patients all the time.
So Dr. Schumacher, I want to address this question at you. You know, we talked about the fact that strokes don't necessarily happen with the elderly. So what are the risk factors? You know, that's the one question that I have on my mind. And what steps can people take to lower these risk factors of getting a stroke?
So the number one risk factor is untreated blood pressure. There's no doubt about this. If you have high blood pressure and don't treat it, you are heading to a stroke at some time point in your life. The next most common risk factor is smoking. And also smoking can be prevented. You can stop smoking, and this lowers your risk for strokes too. And then there are other conditions like diabetes, mellitus, or some rare conditions of the metabolism that also predisposes you to stroke. But high blood pressure and smoking are the number one.
Again, a large number of these risk factors, like you mentioned, are ones that are potentially modifiable, particularly with blood pressure and cigarette smoking, as well as diabetes.
Yeah, there's another heart condition, maybe, that it's pretty common in elderly patients, elderly defined, you know, 70 and above. And this is atrial fibrillation. This is an irregular heart rhythm. And these patients tend to develop clots in their heart, and those clots can travel and cause a stroke. So if you have been identified with atrial fibrillation, there are medications that can be given to prevent this from happening. And typically cardiologists prescribe those medications.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing from you, if you are elderly, it's good to kind of work with your cardiologist to see if you have those symptoms that could potentially cause something like this. And, you know, if you're younger, I really think what I'm hearing is your lifestyle plays a huge role in these risk factors associated with getting a stroke, you know, like smoking and the blood pressure, as you mentioned. So living a healthy lifestyle can very much help you avoid the symptoms or getting a stroke as easily as some people do. So, you know, I want to shift over to both of you. I know that you help a lot of people with a stroke. We talked about not every emergency room is created equal, but I'd love to learn a little bit more. Maybe Dr. Fennell, tell us how you treat patients who come into Capital Health with a stroke.
Sure. So there are a number of ways that we can treat patients with stroke. We have and some of the research that we've been doing, not only here at Capital, but really nationally, has really, I think, pushed the envelope as far as how we're able to treat stroke. We can treat strokes in a particular time period by giving medication through the veins to help dissolve the clots that may be in the brain. We can also by way of going through the blood vessel with small catheters and wires to go try and retrieve blood clots that are inside the brain in multiple locations, whether they're in the carotid artery or one of the main arteries that gives blood supply to the brain. We can go retrieve those clots, and we use a number of different types of techniques to be able to do that. And it's really been able to expand our ability to be able to treat strokes where many years ago we could only treat strokes within a small time window, and now we're really able to expand the number of patients that we're able to treat with a number of different means, and that's why, going back to what Dr. Schumacher mentioned, is that not every center is able to do all of these things, and having an understanding having an understanding of where the most ideal location is based on the symptoms you have will help immensely in predicting your outcome, because you're able to have the most comprehensive and effective treatment.
Dr. Fennell mentioned the medications that we can give to dissolve clots. So if the stroke is due to a clogged artery, then, you know, we give a medication that we now use for more than 20 years. And this medication basically works like a drainer for a clogged drain. It's pretty much the same principle, except that one shot is about $1,000. And it works pretty well. And we only can give this medication within 3 hours after the first stroke for most patients. And in a selected group of patients, we can give it up to 4.5 hours, but then that's it. So this is why patients should come to the emergency room as soon as they identify the stroke symptom, because we really have a time limit to give the clot buster.
And if I could also add that a lot of the research that has been done nationally recently, as far as being able to, and as far as the interventions that we're able to do and able to physically go get the clots, based off of, you know, the function of the brain, and we use some advanced imaging in order to be able to look at areas of the brain and see what areas of the brain which may be salvaged for patients who fall outside of that window, and even ones that are inside of that window. As as a result, we're able to expand our ability to intervene on strokes of patients with the national guidelines up to 24 hours. But again, most importantly, time is of the absolute essence.
I think the most important fact to remember is, you know, very often we wait, you know, if something happens to us, we have a little pain here, tingling there, we say, oh no, it's going to go away, don't worry. I'm going to wait it out. But that's exactly the wrong approach in stroke symptoms. Don't wait it out, because by the time you wait it out, the stroke may have been completed, and then the deficit that, you know, the loss of speech or the weakness in the arm or leg can be fixed and remain there for the rest of the life of this individual. So waiting it out is the wrong approach. Calling 911 and going quickly to a hospital is the right approach.
I'm so glad you keep coming back to that, because I think if there's one thing that the audience can take away from this is not to wait, number one, and number two, to call 911 to direct you to the right center that can handle these strokes, because not all emergency rooms, not all hospitals are created equal. It's also amazing to hear some of the medical advancements that Capital Health has to offer and ways that you can treat a stroke. So if people wanted to learn more about this Capital Institute for Neurosciences, where can they do that?
You could go on the internet and go to www.capitalneuro.org. And you can learn all about our neurosciences program, about all of our wonderful physicians and the nursing and our entire team and radiologists. Because again, this, one of the things we'd also like to echo is that it really is not any individual physician or any individual person. This takes a really coordinated effort from a team in order to be able to do this at the level that we're able to do this and consistently.
The alternative is to look at the website. We have a community outreach program where team members of our team go out in the community and educate about stroke symptoms and how to prevent stroke. And you can find those in our website.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Fennell and Dr. Schumacher, for educating us here today. If you or someone you know is experiencing the sign of a stroke, please call 911 immediately. To learn more about Capital Health Stroke and Cerebrovascular Center or Capital Institute for Neurosciences, please visit capitalneuro.org. That's capitalneuro.org. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check back soon for our next episode. This is Capital Health Headlines, a podcast from Capital Health. I'm Prakash Chandran. Thank you so much for listening.